We greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful again to be gathered together with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we come before you again. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Spirit of wisdom and grace. Lord, we just help us, Father, to strive to be like you. Again, we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Verse 34 and verse 35. Just had a really blessed week this week. A lot of things. A lot of things to think about. It's just a real blessing. That's why I'm kind of going the direction I am here, because of what has happened, what we've talked about. Verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I want to use this kind of as a base this morning. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." This week we talked with some men. Went to North Dakota or South Dakota and met with a group of men, and we all met together and started. Just the man that was leading it said, "Well, let's just all give a brief explanation of who we are and a little about ourselves." And they started around the room, and the pastor there, the head pastor, said, "Well, I'm so and so, I'm married, been married so many years, and had so many children." And he said, then he started naming off, "I've been to graduated from this college and from this college, and went to this cemetery and graduated from this, and then went spent time in Dallas Theological Seminary," and just went all through his education. And that's who I am. The next assistant or youth pastor, "Well, he was married and he had so and so many children, and then he went to this college and he graduated from that college, and he attended this cemetery, and he went all through his education." And then the next man came up and he told what college he had gone to and where he had learned about these things, and just went on and around the room. And they got to us, and I think the first one came to just said, I think it was Kevin, he just said, who he said he was, and he told about his family, and then he said, "And I'm a follower of Jesus." And we each gave where maybe our testimony of where we had came to follow the Lord. And that set the tone for the whole thing. And so we, as we began to talk and explain to people about, or to explain to them where we were brought there to explain, basically, for Brother Joe, about where we were at and why he was so drawn to what we were doing. We began just to tell them it's about following Jesus. It's about loving. Well, they'd interrupt us and say, no, wait a minute. Where's the Spirit in this? Or where is the grace in this? Or they started trying to explain all of these, having to figure out why this didn't fit their theology. And they began to go through all their theological arguments and they said, well, don't you believe this or don't you believe that? Or how does that happen or how does this happen? And I finally just said, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known. And what the point was is, you and I don't have to know and understand everything there is to know about God. God is bigger than that. He's bigger than our minds. And when we try to put Him in a little box and try to have it all figured out, we put Him in a little box and we're bigger than He is. God cannot be explained by man. So quit trying. Leave Him God. God is a mysterious... What's wrong with God being a mysterious God? Something much higher than ourselves. Why can't we just accept God as being bigger than I am? Not knowing and not having to be able to explain or not understanding these things. Leave Him a big God and we'll be a lot farther along. It's just a blessing. It's just thrilling to have God mysterious and God big and unable to be explained. It's just pretty pitiful that I can go to school for 8 years and know all there is to know about God. And one man yielding himself to God, yielding his will to God in one twinkle of an eye of surrender to God and surrender into God's will knows more than a man could learn in a lifetime. One bit of God being revealed to you through surrender of your will to God, you'll know more than anyone that could ever study and know about God. One time, I was in the Philippines and was meeting with this pastor at this big church, and we had to sit out in this little room while we were waiting, and this secretary or whatever was just asking us, talking, and we were just explaining what we believed about just following Jesus. And I began to just explain things to her, and she'd never heard any of that. And she said, well, what school did you go to? Or what cemetery did you, or seminary, whatever they call it, seminary did you go to? And I said, I went to God's school of obedience. You yield your will and your heart to God and you'll know more. They'll stand amazed. The scholar's wisdom will be brought to nothing. That's why they came to Jesus and John the Baptist and the apostles. Who are these unlearned men? Why did Christ speak with authority? Because He knew what He was talking about. It just amazes me sometimes at how many details you're expected to know in theology. We're not going to take a test on the judgment day of what you know about God. You're going to be judged by how you loved God and how you loved your neighbor as yourself. I don't know why. I don't know how. And you know, people talk about, well, you're doing it all yourself. That's one of the things they brought up. You're just doing it yourself. You're just works. Where's God doing all of this? Finally, we got to the place where we said, I don't know. You know, He may be doing it in me. It may be Him doing it all. But I still have a choice in whether I let Him or not. He may be causing me to do everything that I do that's right. All the works that I may be doing, He may be just... But I'm still just a puppet and I'm going to yield to Him. That's where the power is. I don't know how it all works. But I do know that I have a choice in the matter. I do know that I can either yield myself to God or I can not. And when I yield to Him, all power is given unto us. But if I won't yield, it's all cut off. And it doesn't matter how much good I may do. We have to die to our own will and our own way. We are called to yield ourselves back to God. And when we do, that power is available. Our purpose on life is to get the kinks out of the hose that we've got all cramped up so that the water can flow through. Our lives get all kinked up doing our own thing, and it just puts a kink in the hose and stops God from doing what He wants to do. Let the water flow free. Let the power flow. We can do what's right. We can make the choice to do what's right. And that's where the power is, like we talked about last week with Christ rising from the dead. He won the battle in the garden, fighting with Himself, fighting with this body, fighting with the temptation for man to yield to something other than God's will. We have that choice. And there again, I don't know. People say, well, He couldn't have had a choice or He wouldn't be God. Well, that's theology. All I know is Jesus was in the garden and He sweat great drops of blood wrestling with something. And I don't think it was a textbook. He was wrestling with something and He was victorious and He died. Right there. He died the night before. So that He had the power to live for God's will the next day, no matter what man did to Him. That's where our power is. Our yieldedness to God and His will. I don't know how it works. But I know whom I have believed. In Peter, I know I don't understand all these things. I don't have to. But I know that there's a big God that does understand those things. And I'm going to trust in Him. And I'm going to trust His way. Sometimes we're a little pressured or a little... Sometimes I feel a little bit... We react sometimes. The world around us is full of presumptuous people. There's basically one sin in the Bible, and I think this is tied with that sin that cannot be forgiven. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. in the Old Testament when they offered sacrifices. If a man sinned, it was fine. He was able to be forgiven. He could repent of it. But there was not an offering for the sin of presumption. Just assuming that because God was good, everything would just be okay. Just presuming upon God's grace. I think that is probably about as close to the unpardonable sin as there is. Because when you get it in your mind that it's just going to be okay and I can go ahead and disobey God, there's very little room for you to repent from that. Because you've already justified yourself in your mind. If you have an opportunity to repent, do it. If you're still bothered about something that you know you ought to be doing, do it. Don't be worried about not being able to be forgiven, because if you're worried about not being able to be forgiven, you've not reached that place. Because the sin of presumption says that it's all right, I don't need it, and you don't even worry about it anyway. You don't even care because it's all smoothed over, it's all taken care of. That's the sin of presumption. I would love just to go tell people about God's goodness and about His mercy and about His kindness and about His love. That's a blessing. I mean, whenever I'm troubled, whenever I'm struggling, and I see that God is merciful and He is good and He is kind, it's encouraging to rise up and say, I want to be more like Him. It's a blessing to rise up and strive to be more like Him. But the problem is whenever you begin to teach and you begin to preach about those things, people hear that and they say, oh, God is good. God is merciful. God is love. I can just do whatever I like. And they turn the grace and the mercy of God into just absolute lawlessness. Because they can do whatever they want. Because God is good. That is presumption. That is presumptuous. That is one of the most dangerous things there is in the world. It would be wonderful to be able to just tell people, God does love you. God does care. But people hear that with, instead of seeing God, they see me. And I think that's what casting your pearls before the swine is all about. God is great and God is good. But if you presume upon that, you're separating yourself from Him. God's love is not on trial. Ours is. God's goodness is not on trial. Ours is. God's mercy is not on trial. Ours is. Don't presume that it's just going to be all right. You show this commandment in the way you live. I give a new commandment. I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also may love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now let's turn to 1 John. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. When we love God, we love our brother also. The boys' lesson this morning had a whole bunch of verses that were a real blessing. And I want to ask you, where does presumptuousness come in with our brothers? If we love God and God expects us to follow Him, and if we love our neighbor as we love God, our love for our brother is directly related. Now, our love for God is directly related to how we deal with our brothers. God has given us an opportunity, a real blessing to be together and to work with each other. Let's look at some of these verses the boys had picked out. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 17. Who had that verse? 1 Peter chapter 2. What verse is it?
1 Peter chapter 2.
Okay. 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You know, if everyone would do their part like this. If everyone would do their part, it'd be almost like heaven on earth, wouldn't it? It'd almost be like heaven on earth. In fact, it would be. Because that's what heaven's about. That's what heaven is all about. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Man loving God and loving his neighbor as himself. That's the kingdom of God. And it can be right here and right now. if you will do your part of it. If you will do your part of it. There's people that won't do their part. And those who will do their part are to be pitiful, full of pity, full of mercy, full of grace, full of forgiveness, full of kindness towards those who do not. And God has planted some among us who do not for a purpose. That's so that those who do can show their mercifulness, their kindness, their gentleness, and their goodness to all men. My challenge to you is, which camp are you in? And if you're in the wrong one, jump ship. Get in the right one. There's going to be offenses. There's going to be problems. And if you find out you're the problem, change. You can be a blessing by being a problem. You give someone else the opportunity to have to put up with you. So you're a real blessing to them. But you're a curse to yourself. Are you a blessing to the brotherhood? Is that the way you live? Or are you presumptuous, expecting? You know, it's wonderful to live with a close brotherhood. It's wonderful to have all things common. It's wonderful to be able to share and just give to wherever's needed. We saw a sign the other day. Are you a parasite? That's the last half. I can't remember.
Are you a producer?
A producer or a parasite? Are you a producer or a parasite? You can just kind of check which one of them sounds best. A producer or a parasite? You know, if everyone in the church would be a producer, that would be a real blessing. That would be the kingdom of heaven. Because in the kingdom of heaven, in glory, there won't be any parasites. The parasites can be a blessing here to the producers so that they can forgive and overcome. But the sad thing is, the parasites won't make it to the kingdom of heaven. I mean, just a blessing to be able to go to the neighbor and borrow something and know that it's yours if you need it. It's a blessing to say, hey, brother so-and-so's got an old dump truck he's got running, and I can just go borrow it. But if you go borrow that thing and you don't treat it better than your own, you're a parasite. If you go borrow that thing and break it and don't see about replacing it or getting it fixed, you're a parasite. The reason the love and the goodness and the mercy can work is because I know my brother is going to take better care of it than I would myself. You know, I'd loan it to him, and it might have a little something wrong with it, and it comes back and it's fixed. That's a producer. A parasite will say, "Ah, he owes it to me. He's a Christian. He'll have to give it to me. I'll just go ask and he'll give it. I'll just go. It's over there in the field. I'll just go get it. Or he won't care. I'll just jump on it and take off." Be courteous. The reason it works is because we have respect one for another. And because we love one another. The parasite just thinks it's owed to them. Well, they ought to be nice to me. They got to be kind to me. They got to take care of me. That's all about me. Not about the kingdom. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Look out for one another. And it's a blessing that people do. And it's a blessing that whenever it comes to our heart that we want to love and follow God, that's what we want to do. But if we find ourselves not in that camp, let's get in it. Let's get in it. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. God is good to us. God is full of compassion. And God is full of mercy. But if you're presuming on it, you're a parasite. If you take that forgiveness like the man was forgiven all that great debt, and he went out to his neighbor and he forgave his neighbor because he had been forgiven, that's a producer. But if he goes out and grabs a hold of him, "You owe that to me," that's a parasite. There won't be any parasites in the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:24. "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." When you love your neighbor, you're not just looking out for yourself. You're seeking how I can benefit someone else. Colossians 3. Let's start with 12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at these things that show us who God is. Put those things on instead of just claiming them as a promise. Make them real in your life. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Don't just look at the cross and say, oh, God's going to forgive me. Look at the cross and say, look how God can forgive. I'm going to do the same. Don't look at the cross and say, oh, God is merciful to me. Look at the cross and say, how can I be merciful to someone else? How can I be like that? Look at the cross and see His kindness towards man. And instead of saying, oh, God is so kind to me, say, how can I be kind towards others? Look at His humility, dying on the cross, and see, how can I take on that myself? That's what we're called to do. Be honest with each other. Take the wrongdoing. Take the suffering. Take the low road with other men's eye, in other men's sight. Take the road that Christ took. Humble yourself. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God can rule in your heart whenever we take that way. Whenever we do something that we shouldn't, or we... That's not peace. There's no peace in that. You may get yourself clear of a bad situation. You may get out of something that you should be taking. But you don't have peace in your heart about it. You don't let the peace of God reign. Be merciful, kind. Don't be demanding and controlling. That's not what Christ was. Christ humbled Himself. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Christ was God. And God was put in a body as a man. He didn't say, "Let me out of here. Nobody knows I'm God. You should all listen to me." He took the position that He was placed in and He humbled Himself to it. He humbled Himself to just being a man. And He took everything that came with it. And walked through this life with all the goodness, kindness, mercies, forgiveness, meekness, long-suffering, all of those things. So much so, He was so much full of love that this world killed Him. He was so good and so kind and so merciful that this world killed Him. Let this mind be in you. You don't need structure. You don't need theology. You don't need rules. If you live this way, and you find other brothers living this way, you'll just live. The church is a living being made up of living people who are striving for real life. It's live. And when it's striving for life, it'll be pursuing it. And it'll be finding it. When we evangelize, we're not trying to change this world and make it a better place. We're looking for somebody that's looking for life. And when they see that life, there it is. I want it. And when those strive for that life, they become a part of that life. And it just grows and keeps growing. But if people stop seeking that life, cancer starts growing. And it'll be there. But as long as the life is strong, or they tell us about blood cells, that there's good blood cells and bad. The white and I don't know what, all looks red to me, but they put the good blood cells, and as long as they're strong, they fight off these bad. They're at war all the time, fighting all these bad things that are attacking the blood and the body and making it weak. And when the white get tired and they quit fighting and they quit pressing on towards that life, the others start growing and getting bigger and bigger. And it starts to drown and it starts to die. Pretty soon, the bad is taken over. And it's heading to death. And they're seeking after death. Whenever life is in the church, it's alive and it's going. But when the death begins to grow and get more power, it dies. And men begin to prop up the death. Maybe with theology. Maybe with rules and laws. They prop up the death instead of striving after the life. That's why denominations hardly ever die. They're still here. Just death. Walking in a theology. Just death. Walking in a bunch of rules. Where there's life, you're free indeed to pursue that life that comes whenever we yield ourselves to Christ, to pursue this life. Take this life that He's offering. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This world's got things to throw at you, to get you distracted, but there is one way. There is one way that'll get to life. Sell everything you got and keep it. There's things all over that's going to try to draw you away from your first love. It's all around you. Follow Christ. Be an example. He humbled Himself and became a man. We can't even imagine that. But we can humble ourselves and be about His business. I just thought, just a little picture. You know, we get our own agendas. We get doing what we want to do. Oh yeah, sure, if God sends something along the way, we'll stop and go do it. We'll stop and go do whatever we want. But then we want to get right back to our agenda. We want to get right back to what we're doing. The reason we're doing what we're doing ought to be because it's God's agenda and not our own. I mean, just a practical sense. You wives, you got little projects of your own. You got little things that you want to do. Well, your husband calls, yeah, you'll go do them, but you want to get back to what you're doing. You be doing what you're doing because He wants you to be doing it. It's just a little fine line there. I see it in myself. I'll be doing a job and I get so involved in the job that I just want to get it done. And I'll get a call and say, I need you over here. And it's just, I want to finish what I'm doing. But I'm needed somewhere else. You got to lay it down. Be doing what I'm doing for the whole thing, not just for my thing. Our cause is for Christ. And everything that we do should be for Christ, not just for me. Not just because I like doing it. Let each esteem other better than himself. It's easy to get caught up in doing things because we enjoy doing them. Esteem others better than yourself. That's what the kingdom of God is. Laying down our lives for Christ. Doing things for others for Christ. Because He did. Not just because it does me good. Not just because it makes a nice church setting. Do it for Christ. And it'll be done for the right motive. It'll be done because we love. Haven't left our first love. We can get caught up in doing all the right things. But we're doing them because they're the right things. And because it produces nice fruit. And it will. For a while. But don't lose our first love. Be loyal to our first love. Be loyal to Christ. Do the things that we do for Him. Because we love Him. Love our neighbor is because, what if that was Christ? We treat people like we would treat Christ. That song we sang something about, He's the God of all nations. Well, how did it go there? Well, we sang that hymn. It was talked about. No, it was one we just sang. It's kind of Lord of men. Yes, it's Lord of men, but it talked about Lord of all men. The idea that I thought when I thought, you know, people go to war and they go to serve their government. And all nations. Lord of every land and nation. What's the next phrase?
Ancient of eternal days.
What was before that?
Lord of men as well as angels. Every
okay. He's the Lord of all men. Not just our country that we would go fight for. He's the Lord of those nations just as much as He is this one. And He's the Lord of those men just as He is of this one. We don't have a monopoly. We don't have God all boxed up. He's bigger than that. People's God is way too small. I hope you can make some sense of this. Don't leave your first love. Imitate Him. Be like Him. Be a producer of good things. Not just a parasite sucking off the blessings of the good things. The church will turn into what we see on the street. Just a bunch of people thinking that life owes them a good time. That's their right. That they can just do what it. We love freedom. What they're saying is we can just party and do our thing any way we want to. Well, if that's freedom, they've got that kind of freedom all over the world. I don't know of a place you can't go and it isn't a big time to have a big party. And then people can just do about whatever they want if they're having fun. That is not freedom. Freedom is an opportunity to return back to God, to take your responsibilities, to do what He made you to do. God has His blessings. Father, we come before You and again thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us be faithful to You. Help us each esteem other better than ourselves. Help us lose ourselves being a producer, Father. Not become proud of being a producer. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Evangelical Christianity, they just know it's dead, so it's just like, well, whatever, let's just all hang out. And the only way to truly have life is just go and press into the kingdom. Otherwise, you're just dying and you're just trying to save yourself and dying. Just, you know, sitting in a hospital in which case it's safe. I mean, that's the church that everyone sees. It's just, well, we're dying and we just got to save what we got. And it just doesn't work. Eventually, you're going to die. You have to press in, follow Christ. That's the only way to any doing anything.
Amen.
I was just thinking, I appreciated the message. It reminded me of a sermon we preached a few years ago about faith and righteousness, you know, just right and wrong. And there's, I see those two camps. We're teaching our 8, 10, and 12 year olds basic righteousness, just, you know, justice, fairness, you know, do what's right. But then the kingdom of God is in a whole other league. I can't pop further up. But before you can get to the kingdom of God, you need to learn first the camp down below.
Amen.
Right?
Just blessed and thought and challenged very much about the house of my hose work.
Amen.
There's kings. Want to get them out and really be.
Amen.
I heard a girl say this week, she said, I think the problem with a lot of Christians is that they're trying to bring, you know, make earth God's paradise and we're just a broken and sinful people. And I thought, you're missing the entire message of Jesus, which is bring the kingdom of God to earth. That what is the kingdom of God within you, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, just throwing that out the window. And so I think that the modern day church just thinks, oh, we're sinful, we can't actually be like Jesus, we can't actually do what he said, the kingdom is just this distant thing, we have to wait till we die. No, the kingdom of God is now, the kingdom of God is here.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thinking about the verses that you read through the New Testament, I was thinking, we're reading this as we're reading the Bible. That's what we call this collection of letters, books, gospels. But when the first Christian that read those things were reading it, they were probably thinking, or it was being read to them, they were probably thinking, that's true, because I know that to be right already, and you're to love your brethren and love one another. This is right. It was a witness to what was already in their heart. They knew how they needed to treat each other, but they needed just someone to have 2 or 3 witnesses, every word should be established. And so, and some churches have more of a need for that than others. Paul even said that some of you already, you know how to love each other like you should, and need not to be encouraged that way or whatever. But and so these letters were a great encouragement, because here's a man that was taught of God, and that they were encouraging the churches. But then, several hundred years later, these letters became canonized, became solidified, and you might say bought. And then, over time, that became what was almost worship and worship. And I mean, I've known people that won't set anything on top of the Bible on the bookshelf. But it can't have that, you know. Instead of it being alive, the very thing that encouraged and gave life becomes a death. This is someone that worship in instead of the one that points to it. And I just really blessed with the thoughts going out, and we need to appreciate these words, but let them continue to be mindful and not what we experienced this week. I mean, those men were trying to mock God in with the Bible, and instead of letting the kingdom of God be alive, and even our brother said to us after we left the meeting, Brother Joe, he said, you know, some of the things they said sounded right, and some of the things y'all said sounded right. He said, but the difference is, you all are real, and they're fake. I'm not bragging to that, it's just that, I mean, that's what we want, reality, real, life. We can have all that and be in.
Amen.
Amen.